Kristen Hange.
Natalie Roy.
Life is good.
It's so good. Your skin is luminescent this morning.
I cannot even believe that's a possibility.
Oh, it's true.
I will take it.
Take it all. Eat it up and smother it on your body.
I woke up this morning and just the way this, like literally the way the sun and the sky and the clouds were peeking into my bedroom window, I felt ecstasy.
Mm-hmm.
And I was walking around the Upper West Side this morning, and I had a vision that I was going to get Kristen and I the most fresh, amazing, delicious French pastries and fresh squeezed orange juice for this podcast. And I looked up the good bakeries and what time they opened, and I was there exactly the moment it opened, and they were just like bringing the pain au chocolat out of the oven, and I was in bliss. But I was walking around the street and it rained yesterday, and so there's that beautiful, fresh, crisp summer air energy.
Mm-hmm.
I just felt like this is where heaven is.
This is where heaven is. Oh, I love heaven.
It just is amazing to notice the mind always wants to ruminate or be somewhere else. And there's a real call to say, what is going on around here that I can see? You know, Eckhart Tolle says people walk in nature, but they're not really in nature. They're walking in their mind. And it's like amazing. Like, can we actually be present to the taste of the pastry? It's almost like when you have your first bite of something amazing, that's like the best bite, but it's because that's the one you're the most present for. And then after that, you're just eating.
Yes.
And how can we just live life with so much love that we're just experiencing it all?
I have a quick story and then we'll jump into this podcast topic.
I cannot wait.
Which is, I'm rehearsing Rock of Ages right now because it's returning off Broadway.
Congratulations, by the way.
Oh, thank you so much. I've done the show so many times. I've worked on it since 2004.
It changed my life, that show.
Mine too.
That's how I met you.
And work, I mean, it might be my 18th production of it, something ridiculous like that. And after doing it again and again, you would think it gets stale.
Mm.
And many times, working on Rock of Ages, I have to like remind myself to get back to the present moment because
mm-hmm.
I've seen the scenes so many times. But yesterday's rehearsal, the actors were so present and so connected and so really feeling true feelings that I told them after the run-through, you guys, I've seen these scenes hundreds, maybe 1,000 times. And I was watching them like I've never seen them before because of what you brought to it,
right.
Because of the connection you had. And that's thrilling.
Mm.
But it reminds me, I get to bring presence to my own life.
Right.
Am I walking into this rehearsal room like I've done it every day and it's like by rote? Or am I looking at the fresh new possibility, the thing that is happening right here and now that's never happened before?
What did you say to me yesterday that was so cute? It was similar. I was talking to a client of mine and she had to go to the DMV and she was like, the last thing I want to do is go to the DMV. I'm like, listen, I hear you. Like when my printer breaks, like when you have to do those menial jobs and you're like, ugh. And I said to her, I said, what if there was a crazy miracle on the way to the DMV that we could be really excited about? And we're kind of both laughing about it, but shifting the perspective to say, what if I anticipated the absolute miraculous is happening on the way to the DMV? Anyway, she did check back in with me afterwards and she did have like a totally fun experience and it was a totally shifted moment. But I was saying to you the other day, oh, Kristen, there's this beautiful dress that I have my eye on. And I totally want to buy it. But I know that store is very expensive, so I don't even want to go in and try it on. You said to me, what did you say to me?
I told
everyone in your words.
Yes. I said, well, Natalie, you got to go try it on your body. And Natalie goes, this is my favorite Natalie answer. She goes, well, I know my body, and it's going to look great. So if I put it on, I'm going to have to buy it. And I said, or there could be a third choice. You could go in, you could put it on your body. It looks so great that someone walks up to you and says, that must happen. I must buy that dress for you because that dress must exist on you in life. So often there's a third choice in life that we don't even know about, but you got to get yourself in the store and put the dress on your body to know.
That's it. And ladies and gentlemen, that is what it is like to have Kristen Hange as your best friend.
There's two things. There's two things I want to tell our audience before we go any further.
Please.
One is, it's summer and it is warm, so we have kept the air conditioning on. And it's also New York City, so you may hear sirens in the background. So we just encourage you that if there's background noise inside this podcast,
to embrace it.
Yes, to love on
it. Celebrate it.
Get hot on it. And then two, we're having a summer savings sale.
Oh, yeah. Bikinis all around.
Yeah, it's like, take it off. So we're taking off some of our prices for things on our website. We are clearing things out to make room for the new. And we are doing something this week only.
Mm-hmm.
Our Pathway of Your Dreams course that takes you up through the chakras that is so badass and so sexy. It's on sale for $100.
Yeah, this is like 7 hours of video content.
It's like everything we know.
And so we're doing a sale that is site-wide. So every single thing on our website for 1 week only is half price. And
that includes our book.
The book.
Our happy hour
new course. So yeah, if you're down for like some more of our products, you can download the videos and you can own them in perpetuity. You can watch them whenever you want.
Our book is $10. Our happy hour video is $10. There is so much joy you can get for so little money.
What a great opportunity.
And now I'm so excited about this podcast topic.
So excited. I know we haven't even gotten into the topic yet. Can you believe it? We're just jamming.
Okay.
So this came to us via someone in our community reached out to us via email, which we love. If you ever want to talk to us, we love talking to you. And they said, I have an idea for a podcast. And they sent us this email and we said, we cannot wait to do this podcast.
When Natalie sent me this email, I was like, I must speak to this woman. So we will pass this email back and forth because, you know, we like to split up our dramatic readings. Hello, Kristen and Natalie. I've been listening to your podcast for over a year and absolutely love, love, love having you two in my life. I'm not sure if you're still looking for topics for your podcast, but I thought I would share to see if you have ever had similar experience.
I find myself always crushing, falling in love with almost every man I cross paths with. It has been an issue I struggle with: sex, pleasure, guilt, shame. After lots of soul-searching work, I recognized that it is true connection that I craved, but I often mistake it as sexual attraction and romantic love. My ego uses sex and validates as a way to make up for my own lacks and not enoughness.
I also realize there's nothing wrong with falling in love with everyone I meet. It is a beautiful thing to fall in love. We are here to love, after all. As long as I remind myself that true connection is coming from within, and not my ego gets in the way.
I would love to hear your thoughts on attraction, on love, romantic love, conditional love, and unconditional love. And that is all we want to talk about. We also love to talk about sex.
Yeah, and that's from a beautiful woman named Janet. Hi, Janet. I was so excited to read your email because I just wanted to scream. Well, me too. I fall in love with
everybody.
Every single person that I meet. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how old they are. It doesn't matter what gender they are or fluid gender. It doesn't matter. I love to love. And I always think of it as, I love to see what the divine created.
Mm.
Just like you can walk through botanical gardens and there's all these different kinds of flowers, there are so many different kinds of humans, and all of them come with their unique flavor and gifts and talent and their form of beauty. And I feel like I am inside my own divinity when I recognize someone else's beauty and love and gifts on the planet.
Mm, that's it. And we have so much conditioning around you can love this form and not this form. We have so much conditioning around love belongs in certain places. And then when we are in a conditioned state of giving love under conditions, then we also take our love away under certain conditions. And then we have a very transactional, conditional relationship with even those that we say we love. It's like, I will love you. I will give you the gift of my love. And if I don't get something in return or I don't feel requited, then I will take that away. And so we start to use our love as a weapon. And instead of a gift, instead of an act of service, instead of a privilege that through the act of loving Kristen, this beautiful day, the sky, I get to be changed. And so I don't need the sky to do anything for me. There's this incredible quote that I recently stumbled upon. Let me find it. I'm sorry I didn't have it queued up for you. I was really way too excited about my pastry. Sir John Suckling, he says, to have loved alone will not suffice unless we also have been wise and have enjoyed our loves. And so it's not just about saying, well, I will love, and then what happens? It's about the enjoyment of love. It's about the relishing of love. It's about who we get to be because we love.
And when we love, it raises our vibration. So when I love without needing anything back from anyone, but loving because it feels good inside of me to love, it makes me feel high. My vibration rises. When I allow love to pass through me, I become the vessel of love. It feels so good. It's like when I allow myself to be creative just because creativity loves to flow through me. Mm. It raises my vibration. But in the same way, if I get into that place with creativity where then I want my creativity to perform for me, I want my show to be successful, I want my screenplay to be recognized, I want something back for this flow that's going through me, then I cog up the flow. So all of a sudden, when I'm in a position with someone else where I am demanding they behave a certain way so that I can feel that flow, well, I've just cut myself off from it. One thing that I think is especially powerful is to enjoy the flow of your love, of your attention, of the love that turns you on. Because we all know that when you fall in love with someone, what you're experiencing is your own love.
That's right.
We all have this like endless, powerful flow of love that is inside of us. And it's one of the most powerful forces on the planet, pure love. But often we keep that locked up and protected, so we don't allow ourselves to feel as good as we can feel.
Mm.
But all of a sudden we find a love object. Oh, hi, you beautiful human. I'm going to take all this power inside of me and beam it on you. And now, because of you, I allow myself to feel this good. But that feeling good is available all the time.
And it doesn't need an object.
Exactly right. And I get great joy out of finding someone unexpected to love. So I was telling Natalie, there's this thing right now in my Rock of Ages rehearsal room where there is the cutest little assistant stage manager and the cutest PA, and they're both young and adorable and so sweet. And one is a gay man and one is a sweet young girl, and neither of them do I have any intention of sleeping with or having a romantic relationship with, but I love to delight them.
Mm.
I love to think of something cute to say to them or a compliment to give them. I love to pass little secret notes to them or find a way to delight their day. I love to take the love that's inside of me and beam it upon them and show them how special they are. This, the one girl who's right out of college has the cutest style, and every day she has some cute, something that looks like it's from Anthropologie or Free People or a thrift store. And so she and I get really excited about showing each other our outfits for the day. And my assistant stage manager, he loves to do little things for me.
Mm.
He loves to give me a sweet little coffee, or I have a little, my special favorite chocolate on my desk, and I love to like return the favor and like sometimes come sit next to him. And so it's almost like we have these little games we play throughout the day, and it makes my day so fun to get to spread extra love in unexpected places.
Right. And I think there is this thing, you know, in different kind of like indigenous communities or various communities, children are raised in a tribe. Children are raised in community. So yes, you have a biological parent, or two, but you are not single-handedly raised by one mother, one father. You're raised by the community. So there is an opportunity to say, I don't just have to love this person as special. This person is my mother, so therefore I have to love them differently, mm-hmm. you know, or like I have to love my mother and father the same, or like there doesn't have to be these rules. It's like you get to just love and you get to love many. And that almost, that's more a natural state of being.
Yes.
And we can decide at any moment how love for us manifests and what kind of relationship that might look like. But the opportunity is to say what we are is feeling sentient beings, and what we came to do is experience form through the formless essence that we are. That we are all an unmanifest, we are a consciousness, we are a witness, and we are this form, this body, this mind, these emotions. And so as we experience life and experience love and experience heartbreak and experience human people, we get to know ourselves as we truly are, which is none of those things, but the energy and animating force that gets to infuse those things. Mm-hmm. And it's actually our superpower that we have an unmanifest consciousness of love awareness, and we can infuse that into whatever we say. And it is our greatest power. And the more we are giving that energy, and the more we are vibrating with that energy, the better we feel. And the more we withhold that energy, the more we keep ourselves in deprivation and suffering of ourselves. And then we like to blame it on the other.
Oh, that is the truth. The vision came to my head as you were speaking of taking a jar and like you, when you have a pickled jar or something, a jar of cherries that's hard to open, and all of a sudden it's like you get it off, and it's like we have this incredible well of the most beautiful feeling inside of us, but we keep it locked up.
Yeah.
Right?
And we keep it locked up because we think we need to be protected. And the amazing thing is this consciousness, this spirit, this animating force doesn't need protection because it doesn't change. It doesn't die. Mm-hmm. Nothing can happen to it. It's been here since before we were in this body, and it will be here long after we leave this body. The only thing that can get hurt is everything that we are not. So there's nothing that we need protection from. We just need to continue opening more. And we were even at dinner with this beautiful producer friend of ours last night who, at the table, opened her arms up wide and said, I have learned that the only way you can receive a hug is by opening your arms up wide. But also when you open yourself up, you create yourself vulnerable to also being hit, to also being hurt. But it's worth it because without keeping those arms open wide, you can't receive that hug.
Yes. And when I heard her say that, I was thinking of, it's not only the allowing out of all of our love feelings, but I was also thinking about it too in terms of our truth, which is also love.
Mm.
It's almost like truth is a very direct form of love. And as you know, I've been working about speaking my truth in real time, and how vulnerable that can feel coming out of my heart, because it can really feel like I've taken all the armor off.
Yeah.
And been like, here and now I'm showing you my truest feelings.
Yeah.
And so it's very interesting to go, oh, how come it feels so free and easy for me to give love, but to give truth, which is actually just like very, I want to say like a clear laser kind of love comes to even like a deeper and more vulnerable place.
Yes.
But I have to really allow myself to be that vulnerable in order to accept how life wants to love me and embrace me.
Well, the yogis talk about the giving of love and the giving of truth in a very specific way, that in our third chakra is our center of I am, and it's my will, and it's my ego, and it's this is what I want, and this is my power center.
Yeah.
And then the fourth chakra, as we move up, is the heart, and the heart is the unstruck. They say that, the yogis say that the anahata to have your heart be open and pure and be a pure vessel of love is the unstruck heart. So can you live as if there's never been a striking in your heart? Oh. There's never been a harm in your heart. Can you live with the kind of openness that isn't carrying the baggage of past hurts, that's open as a new vessel that says, I am the unstruck, I am the open. They also say it's the sound that is made without two things striking. It's just this pure, open space. And so when we go into the heart, we think about union and community and love and openness and empathy and compassion and understanding. And then you go up into the fifth chakra, and that's our expression. That's how our truth comes out. And so what the yogis will say is some of what becomes a difficulty in our current time is that so many of us have our hearts closed because we've been hurt, because we are scared to be vulnerable, because we're scared to be intimate, because we're scared to fall in love, that what ends up happening is that truth goes straight from the will, the power center, through expression, but it needs to be filtered through the heart. Mm. It needs to be satya, which is both honest and kind. And if it only comes from that third chakra, it'll only be honest. But if it comes up through the third chakra, this is my truth, and I know what it is, and I have a right to express it, but it comes through the heart, and then also I can express it kindly, and I can express it with an intentionality of love, of solution. So I'm not just talking to get my point across, I'm talking to create harmony, to create solution. So I'm not going to use my words and my language to put you down, or to keep love from you, or to withhold from you. I'm going to use my words to say, here's how I'm hurting, and how can we create a space of peace? How can we create a solution? How can we create love in this space?
I love thinking of, I'm using my voice as a way to create love, peace, and harmony in this space.
Right. This is what I experienced when I lost my voice.
Mm.
I had laryngitis, and I had 6 days of non-speaking, which I really resisted at first. And then as I got more comfortable in the silence, when it came time to be able to speak again, it was really funny. I was in a room and a woman was sharing. And as she was sharing, there was also this kind of like, there's a fire alarm warning. We're testing the system. Da, da. And so these two kind of voices were going on at the same time. This woman who was sharing with me her situation, speaking really lovingly about what she was learning in the situation. And then this kind of rah, 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 fire alarm voice. And I thought to myself, may my voice only speak if I'm being that voice of compassion. And anytime I'm just trying to be heard, trying to get my point across, trying to make you feel something, that's me being the siren. And let me not use my voice for what doesn't bring love and peace and connection.
Ooh, that's so good, Natalie. Thank you.
Another thing that Janet said in her email that I think is really important to address is she talks about there's shame and guilt that comes up. And shame is the third chakra. That is the shadow of that chakra. That when you're experiencing shame, you know it's an imbalance in that will, that I am center. So sometimes it's a misusing of your will. So sometimes when shame comes up, it's where is there a call in my life for me to look at where this power is maybe being mismanaged, or my will is being mismanaged, or I'm not really giving myself what I want, so it's coming out in different places.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes so much sense with what she was saying about, is there a space where I'm using love addiction, sex addiction, these are not her, mm-hmm. her particular words, but for all of us, when we use shopping too much, if we use overspending, if we use working too much, or an overindulgence in our emotions, if we attach to these things, thinking that that is going to feed something inside of ourselves, but there's a deeper need underneath of those things that our system is saying, please address me, please address me. Something that the Sufis say is, if you look underneath all of the drama, there's a deep need.
Yes.
And if you address the deep need, then all of the symptoms will actually go away. And often the deep need is connection and intimacy.
Yeah.
And so it's very easy to have a false sense of connection with a lot of things. I can have a false sense of connection with, you know, eating too much ice cream because I think that's going to make me feel better in that moment, right? We can have a false sense of connection with a form, but really what wants to get addressed is that formless connection, the connection of my spirit, my animating force, and someone else's. That's the connection. And when that connection comes through sex, comes through pleasure, comes through food, comes through buying a beautiful outfit, when it's that formless essence, that feeling tone, when that comes through, when that level of connection comes through, that's separate from the form, then you have deep connection and intimacy. Everything else is a little bit of a distraction, and the only reason you're feeling badness or bad feelings about it is not because you did anything wrong. It's just your spirit saying, hey, not exactly that. Let's check our intention. Let's check why we're connecting. Let's check what's really going on here.
And I think it's also really important to look at dismantling narratives, because a lot of people were raised with so many stories, especially when it comes to sex.
Yeah.
So just speaking from my own experience, I was raised in the Christian tradition, which is like only sex till marriage, one person. And if you think of yourself kind of as sexual, there was already shame involved.
Yeah.
And I remember for myself, like, I came out of the womb sexual. I like to share the story, like, when I was in kindergarten, my favorite thing to do at recess was pin the boys down and force them to kiss me. Like, I came out sexual and aggressive. It was like this thing inside of me that was like, well, this is the best thing in the world to do. I have this really big, really loud sexuality. And so imagine being raised in a Christian tradition where all of a sudden it's like, no, we don't want that. Mm. Turn it down, turn it down, turn it down. So all of a sudden there's just shame for being who you are.
Mm.
And I remember, you know, doing my best to not feel sexual feelings. And then when I would even feel sexual, like after a makeout, my first makeout session, feeling like a dirty uncleanness, right?
Mm.
Of, oh, and now I feel like there's something wrong with me, or I've done something wrong, which creates all this like crazy baggage. So when I got to college and I had sex for the first time and realized, oh, hold on, my spirit feels the same.
Mm.
I'm pretty sure God still loves me. Like there was this kind of like undoing of, And that had been happening through high school as well, is I feel a very strong connection with the divine, but the rules and dogma as I've been taught doesn't seem to feel right. In fact, I feel most myself when I am allowing myself to be this girl that has this very big sexual appetite. And because there was so much shame involved, though, that once I allowed myself to be sexual, that I felt so wrong for it. I almost went through this period where all of a sudden I allowed myself to have sex. I had a lot of sex with a lot of different people, and it was awesome. And then I felt bad about it and quickly put on a ton of weight, like 80 pounds, of like, if I put on enough protection and create enough distance where I'm not, like, I don't look sexy, then I can't even get involved in that conversation, right? So I was, like, punishing myself for being who I was. Now, an interesting thing, too, when I, like, look back at myself in my early 20s, there was also a bit of transactionalism going on in that I didn't feel totally lovable as myself in my 20s. So even when I was having sex, because it was who I am, and there was a part of myself I was expressing, I was also wanting back in that transaction to be loved. And there was like kind of a looking for love. So it was all very messy, and then there was all these different intentions going on. So eventually I lose all the weight. I get all of a sudden I have this like really hot body, and I've gone through this big spiritual awakening. And then I'm like, I'm like committed to creating monogamy and like a really deep intimate connection with another, and like sought out to create that deep romantic connection and end up creating with someone who had their own addiction. I actually had two partners in a row who were acted out of like a monogamous relationship, right? There was some sort of like infidelity occurring, which was really interesting for me to look at. Oh, am I still trying to create a container where I feel loved because of form, because of the form of the relationship? So it was almost like life was teaching me of like, baby girl, it's not about the form or about you getting love from this, from a container.
Yes.
Love is who you are. Love is what flows through you. And actually, your sexuality is like your creativity. Right? It is like your joy. It is like your ability to smell flowers. It's not as categorized as you want to think about it.
Yes.
So let's rip all the labels off. Let's rip all the judgment off. And I had a time where I really felt like Spirit was educating me on not judging the act, but looking at the energy behind the act.
That's right.
Right?
The intention.
The intention. Mm-hmm. So we all know what it's like to sit and have a beautiful pastry with our girlfriend. And we, and like, I think a lot of us know what it's like to be like, I'm so sad, I'm going to eat a bag of Oreos, right? Mm-hmm. Like, we know where we're coming from in our engagement with what life is asking us.
Yes.
So I felt like in my maturity, Spirit keeps asking me to say, I want to flow through you, and I want to flow through you in all of your encounters. So I want to flow through you when you notice a beautiful human and you have like an awesome romantic date and you allow Spirit to connect there. And can you allow that dance to happen and see it as holy? The way that you see walking through Central Park and enjoying the grass and the sky as holy, as you can see walking into a theater and watching a beautiful performance as holy, as in the only thing that is ever happening is the divine flowing through you, animating through you, if you will allow me to do so. And all of that takes releasing form. And also releasing judgment.
Yes, and releasing the story. I love what you said about the story that you created. It's not the act itself that is negative, damaging, hurtful to our spirit. It is the story we tell ourselves about it.
Yeah.
So oftentimes we are just exploring. We're in form and we're just seeing, do I like this or do I like this? Does this work for me or does this work for me? And that's part of our maturation process, to try different things, to see what we like and not have any boundaries or things that are scary and off limits that you can't express or experience. It's like you want to go to the buffet and you want to taste everything and then see what you like. But we create such a shame in ourselves when we do things that we think we're not supposed to, that makes us bad girls, bad boys, bad people. And we try to keep those things at arm's length. But often those things that we keep ourselves from are the gateway to our transformation.
And I think that often we don't actually even know what we like because we kept it off limits from the beginning, because the shame was so big that we never even allowed ourselves to taste it. So I'm a big proponent of, let's just take shame right off the table and say, are you curious about it? Are you interested? Do you want to explore it? What if there's no judgment? What if there's no feeling of, if I do this, I'm good. If I do this, I'm bad. As long as we keep like hurting people off the table, right?
Yeah.
But we're in a place of, I'm allowed, I'm on this planet and I'm allowed to listen internally and follow desire and curiosity and explore. And may I realize I'm on this great inner romance with my spirit.
Yes.
And that it's the spirit within that desires the great intimacy with me.
That's
that before
it.
I even am looking for intimacy with another, am I in a deep romantic, intimate relationship with myself?
And that's really what we're the most afraid of. We're afraid, as Osho says, of our inner emptiness. And so we're always filling it with something. And oftentimes we're so afraid of feeling lonely or feeling abandoned or feeling alone, I think, is really the thing, or feeling empty, that we attract a person and then say, okay, as long as they're with me, that will be fixed and I will never have to face that. But then, unfortunately, we make it that then when they fill that need for us, we love them.
Yeah.
And we praise them.
Yeah.
And we thank them. And we celebrate them.
Yeah.
And then when they don't, we punish them, we shame them, we make them wrong. And all along, it's life trying to say, every single time your partner doesn't meet your need, congratulations, you're now close, close, close to saying, oh, that's not their job, it's mine.
There it is.
And it's the opportunity of my lifetime to say, oh, me and me, that's the romance. I have been really conscious of this thing in myself that I can really get into deprivation when I'm with myself.
Mm.
When I'm with you, I will enjoy life and celebrate. When I'm with my lovely partner, I'm living life to its fullest. And when it's just Natalie by herself, it's like, let's just eat salad. Let's go to bed early. Let's not do anything fun. Let's just work, you know. And there's this real sense of like, when it's just me and me, there's a sense of deprivation. But when I can share it with others, then there's like a permission for joy. And I've really been noticing, because when I was in Paris last week, I really fully spent a lot of time by myself. I spent some time with my partner, and then when he was working, I spent time with myself in ecstasy, sitting in cafes, taking myself to the park, walking around Paris, taking myself out for a glass of rosé, and I just romanced myself. And it was the most peaceful, the most serene, the most calm I have felt in a long time, because it was about the intimacy with my desire. It was about, where do you want to go now? Oh, I want to walk by the river. Okay. Where do you want to go now? I think I want a little gelato. Okay. What do you want to do now? And there was this beautiful dialogue with my passion, my sexuality, my desire, my my muse. And I got to be in a deep romance with her. And as her and I went around the world, everyone just fell in love with us. So I didn't have to worry about even giving love, because there was so much love oozing out of me. It was like a magnet. I was getting free stuff. People were giving me flowers. Like, it was insanity how much love showed up, because I became such an attractive magnet for it.
Well, that is the secret to life. And I love that. It feels like I'm on a magic quest with life. When I'm talking with my spirit like that, I'm like, ooh, where are you taking me? Ooh, what are you doing next? That deep listening. And you're right. You become a magnet for everything that is meant for you. It just comes to you, and it comes to you fast. And I love to think, when I'm going through life and I'm in deep communion and romance with my spirit, then every person that I meet is also spirit loving me through the vessel of this person, and it always takes the right form for the right moment.
Yes.
So when I'm the woman behind the flower
desk,
right? Like, I'm like, what is that thing?
What is that thing?
That she is loving me through her form, and that spirit loving me through her.
Yes.
In the same way that the barista is spirit loving me through its form, the same way a romantic partner is spirit loving me through their form. And so when we're all open and we're allowing spirit to come through us, it's this dance of spirit meeting spirit. And it's available when we're by ourselves. It's available when we're in communion with another. It's available in all romantic relationships, whatever their form, whether they're for one night or for 40 years, right? And it does, and we don't need to qualify. Well, here's the thing. We don't actually get to control what form our relationships take.
And we thank God.
Thank God.
Thank God that is not on my list of things that I have to do.
Right. And we deeply want to control them because we want a sense of safety and certainty.
Yes.
But when we're willing to relinquish that feeling of, I need to control this, but hey, spirit, I think you know best. You know the form this is supposed to take. So let me be responsible for bringing my energy to it, my love, my truth. And then I'll let you dictate the form.
You know, one thing that's been really profound in my life is I always tried to follow the rules and be appropriate and be a good girl. And so I remember being 20 and, you know, meeting my, the man who became my husband, and he was like the right person, the good person. And I always remember saying to myself, oh, I did well. I picked a really good stand-up person who would never leave me. And there was something about the only time you can leave somewhere is if you actually show up there.
Oh.
And so actually what I did was I consciously chose a relationship that would not have intimacy so that, yes, there would never be a leaving because there was a never showing up in the first place. And it took a lot of dismantling of that good girl energy in me to look at this incredibly beautiful person who's one of my favorite people on the planet and say, yeah, we put this in the wrong form. We are important for each other, and the love for each other is deep and real and true and not going anywhere. But we put ourselves in a safety belt and not in a relationship. And we set each other free. And that was like the scariest free fall of my life, to be just feeling this complete lack of safety, but knowing that the safety I built was my own lack of intimacy with myself and being in love with myself and knowing how to take care of myself and knowing how to meet my own needs, because I was always hiding in the other person will just take care of me.
Mm.
And so for me, when I took that step and I got my own apartment and I was terrified every night sleeping in my little bed. I would hear like a sound outside and having a hammer and hiding behind the door thinking someone was breaking in. Like, I was like a little 5-year-old girl trying to navigate life at like 35.
Yeah.
And what I couldn't see was that I didn't have to think about the form or control the form. I just had to say to spirit, you and I are in this together, and I'm taking a stand for my biggest, most intimate, most connected life. I don't know what that looks like. And the next thing I know, I was on a plane to Paris, and every dream of what I'd been hiding from showed up.
Yes. You know, it reminds me that Mama Gina talks about every woman has to go on her own, like Alice in Wonderland, of exploring her sexual curiosity, which is actually exploring her own intimacy with herself. In that moment in your life, you said, what do I really want? Where is my desire truly taking me? I'm willing to open up some doors of I don't know to see what might be behind there. And I think the biggest gift we can ever give ourselves is saying, I'm going to let go of what I am supposed to want, what society's told me, what looks like safety, and I'm actually going to look inside my own heart and talk to my spirit and say, where are you taking me? Where do you want me to go? And even if it's scary, and even if it looks like it might be a dead end, I am willing to go on the adventure of my life, which is, where do you want me to go?
Yeah. I love when you said about Alice in Wonderland, because the story of Alice in Wonderland is about her and her sister are sitting by a tree reading a black and white book. And it's the feeling that there's no vibrancy in this place. There's no color. And so when she falls down the rabbit hole, it's a manic world of chaos, disorder. Nothing is in its place. Nothing is logical. Nothing makes sense, but it's bright and it's vibrant, and things can get big and things can get small and things can transform and things can feel scary, but now we are alive.
Yeah.
And then there's that call to say, is that world of order, of black and white, of right and wrong, more important than living every color of my sexual vibrancy, my passionate love affair with life, my passionate love affair with the depth of who I came to this planet to be?
That's it.
There's this great book I just want to tell our members here about. It's called How to Be an Adult in Relationships.
Please let us
the
know.
The 5 Keys to Mindful Loving by David Richo. And I just want to share what he says is love is experienced differently by each of us. But for most of us, five aspects of love stand out. We feel love or we give love when there is attention, acceptance, appreciation, affection, and when we are allowed the freedom to live in accord with our deepest needs and wishes. And so, if you are giving your romantic partner attention, acceptance, appreciation, affection, and the freedom to live their own dreams and desires, then way to go, way to be love. And if you are giving that to yourself, then way to go, way to be love. And if you are giving that to life, I accept life however it's showing up. I accept it even when it feels like it sucks. I'm going to accept it. I'm going to give positive attention to it. I'm going to give appreciation to life as it's showing up. I'm going to give appreciation to the barista, to the flower person, to whatever. And I'm going to give of my affection. I'm not going to hold it back. I'm going to give affection, compliments, anywhere I go. And I'm going to allow life and everyone in my presence and myself the freedom to live in accord with the deepest needs and wishes.
Ooh, and isn't that something just to meditate on? What are my deepest needs and wishes? And realize that is spirit communicating to you. I have somewhere I want to take you. I have something I want to show you. I have this beautiful, vibrant, colorful world that we get to go through together.
And that's actually what the craving is. So if you give yourself that, everything is going to be met.
Ladies and gentlemen, we love you.
Oh, yes. That was a fun conversation.
Oh, you're so hot.
I'm not turned on
me
now.
Me too. Oh, God.
We're touching our hair. We can't help ourselves.
We're touching our hair. We're touching our bodies. We're feeling really sexy on the planet.
If you loved this podcast or if it was helpful for you, come over to our Create Community Facebook page. It's the acronym CREATE, C.R.E.A.T.E. And let us know. Give us your thoughts. Let us know what's coming up for you. If you have podcast ideas, come to our Create Facebook page or send us an email. Go to our website. Come and find us and give us your ideas. We love to hear from you. And don't forget, we have our special summer savings mm-hmm. for this upcoming week where everything on our website is half price. And then I have a couple of more exciting announcements.
I was going to say, I think I'm going to give my screenwriting writing class for half off too for 1 week only.
Oh my gosh.
Get on it.
Get it. It's going to be so good. So many things half price. Everything on our website is half price. You cannot find a better deal in town. The next thing we want to tell you about is we are going to do a pop-up live Create class in New York City. And that is going to be at the end of June, Saturday, June 29th. We believe. We will confirm that with you. We're just settling. Save the date. We're just settling on location and fun things. But if you are in New York City and you want to come and see us live, it's going to be our one and only live class this summer. And we will keep you posted on that. And we will post it in the Create Community Facebook page. If you want to come hang with us, it's going to be amazing.
Woo!
And the next thing I want to tell you is I am midway through an incredible 3-month transformational class. And I am working with some of the bravest people I have ever met, some of which came to me via this podcast. And this transformational course is about you having a 3-month mentor program where for 3 months you can have me on your phone, in your email inbox, messaging you, talking to you every single day as things are coming up in your life. So when I was talking about the moment, you know, when I had to make a relationship transition, or Kristen was talking about the moment when she was exploring different things in her life, all of us are going through different stages of unfolding and evolution and understanding and chaos and contrast. And if you want a live, ongoing coach to support you, to hold the highest vision of you, and to be with you every step of this journey. Starting in September, I'm doing my next round of my course. It's already about half full. So if you're interested, send me an email. It's my name, Natalie Lynn, L-Y-N-N, Roy, R-O-Y, @gmail.com. And I'd love to give you more information about that. It's so transformational.
It's fun for me to hear from people who are in your course right now who talk about how deeply their lives are changing.
It's profound. It's so profound. It's blown me away. It's been a gift for me as well. So I'm really excited to share with anyone who might be interested or looking for some genuine support and intimacy.
Oh, enjoy your own intimacy with your spirit, with life, and with all the cute people passing you by. Thank you so much for listening. We love to feel like we have friends all over the world in you who are committed to doing their dream on the planet.
And if you liked this podcast and you want to find out more about what we're doing or who we are, our pop-up classes, our online classes, you can check all of that out at thecreateseries.com.
And if you want to be part of our Facebook community, you can go to the Create Community page. That's C.R.E.A.T.E.Community.
And if you loved this podcast, why not share it with a friend?